Welcome to chapter 86 of Memoirs of a White Guy. And I didn't even check again this week. Just another strong, educated guess. Because I'm already on a roll. With last week, I got it right. Nailed it, 85. Didn't check what episode we're up to. This one, all I did was plus one again from last week. See, I don't know. Some people think I'm a dumbass, man. And I just keep telling you guys, hey, I can do addition. So it's been a big week, not only for me, but for most of the Commonwealth, because there's been a royal wedding this week, and I bet you already there's a few guys, and maybe even girls, that's right, that was sexist of me, that maybe there's a few guys and girls right now immediately going, oh, Luke's talking about it too, I don't care. No, hear me out. I've been sick of one thing this week. And you might think, oh great, Luke's been sick of everyone talking about it. Nuh-uh. I'm sick of everyone saying, oh, no one gives a fuck about the royal wedding. Everyone, oh, I go on Twitter and there's all these tweets like, oh, no one actually gives a fuck about the royal wedding. No one actually cares. Tell me someone who cares. Honestly, find me someone who gives a fuck about Harry and Meghan's wedding. You're tweeting about it. You gave one fuck. Not many, but that you gave it. As soon as you thought of that tweet in your head, boom. You went to the fuck store, went, one royal wedding fuck, please. And they went, no worries, that'll be $28.50. And then, I don't know why it's so expensive. And then you got the fuck, and then you gave it to me on Twitter. There you go. That was your fuck. Everyone gives a fuck about it. The only people who don't truly give a fuck about the royal wedding are the people who are right now going, oh, there was a royal wedding on. Since when? Those are the only people. If you're currently sitting here right now, and I bet you there's like one or two of you, those guys who just only listen to my podcast. I meet you guys at the show. I know you don't leave the house. You leave the house once a year, or maybe twice. Some of you go to Lewis's show as well, right? They're these guys, they come out to my show, they don't leave the house much, they don't follow the mainstream news, they only get their news via deep, like, Reddit forums, and then my podcast. That's it. And right now, I know there's two guys, and I know who they are in my head, right? And they're like, oh, shit. Royal wedding was on this weekend. Right. They don't give a fuck. But everyone else, you do. I do. Not much. I didn't watch it or anything. I didn't really get a chance to watch much of the coverage, but because I was flying back from Canberra. But as soon as I got back, saw it on social media, had to scroll through a few memes. Boom. I gave a few fucks. I liked a couple of things. I gave probably 15. 15 times I engaged with the royal wedding, I reckon. Now 16, because I'm talking about it again. So I'm sorry, but if you're listening to this and you knew about it, there you go, you gave a fuck about it. You're probably like, oh, but Luke, I don't actually care. I mean, I just couldn't avoid it. Ah, you cared enough to tell someone that you don't give a fuck. You know what, I might give it to you if you, obviously everyone knew about the royal wedding, it was, the media coverage was so extensive, but, I'll give it to you if you knew about it and then just didn't tell anyone. Like, you didn't even bring it up. You just went, oh, royal wedding's on. Cool. I'll go do something else. Maybe then you don't actually, you've got the fuck. That's the thing. You didn't actually give a fuck because you didn't give it to anyone. You retained a fuck about the royal wedding and then you just kept it to yourself and went about your day. So you didn't actually give a fuck about it. But as soon as you talk about it, as soon as you tell someone, tweet about it, put it on Reddit, whatever, boom, there it's gone. It's gone. Your fuck's gone. And you've given it, and it's now with someone else. And now I have the burden of so many people's fucks. Just scroll down Twitter. And I'm not trying to be rude here, but like, where's my phone? Dude, even my, Lewis, who I do the radio show with, right? Lots of you guys know Lewis. He's my best mate, right? I haven't met a single person, this is what he tweeted, I haven't met a single person who cares about the royal wedding. How's there so much media coverage? Oh, you do, Lewis. And then 2 hours later, he tweets himself watching the royal wedding. Well, no one gives a fuck, but I'll watch it for 3 hours with my grandma and my mum, and then Instagram story every 10 minutes of it. Oh, man, I gave him so much shit about that. Well, he came to the radio station, and I'm like, oh, so what should we talk about the royal wedding? Like, we probably should talk about it, you know? We'll try and pick a new and exciting angle on it that not many people might take. And he goes, oh, what about we talk about, like, 131060? Does anyone actually care about it? And I'm like, you do. You watched it. I mean, I didn't actually watch it. I would have probably. I just wasn't home, right? Honest to God, I didn't hear about the royal wedding. Well, I obviously knew it was coming up soon, but I forgot when it was. And I didn't hear about it until I touched back down in Melbourne about 10:30 p.m. on the Saturday night when it was almost over. Like, it was finished. Because I was in Canberra, and no one in Canberra was talking about it. Literally no one in Canberra gave a fuck. It's the only time, like, I didn't hear about it all day. I was, like, near Parliament House. I was, like, you know, walking around. I was talking to people. I was on Facebook, you know. I'm not often, because I was kind of doing some touristy stuff around Canberra. But I was kind of on the internet. I just didn't see it, completely forgot. Then as soon as I touched down in Melbourne at night, I get on Facebook, and it's only an hour flight, so it's not like I missed it while I was in the air. It was already happening before I left. I just didn't see anything. And then as soon as I touched down in Melbourne, boom, it's all over my news feeds. There's people talking about it at the airport. My parents come pick me up at the airport, and they're talking about it. I'm like, Jesus Christ, I forgot about this royal wedding. But as soon as I got down in Melbourne, I was like, I give so many fucks about this. Where's Harry? Where's Meghan? Get them on the line. I need to ask them how it went. I like that I'm pretending that I have a direct line to Harry. That would be cool. I mean, he's a sick dog, man. And I feel it's kind of sad. It's a really sad day because Harry was the last loose unit. I mean, Will, he's not loose. He's married. He's balding. He needs to give up on his hair. Okay? He's clinging on to this, he looks like a Homer Simpson. He's clinging on to this, like, he's got this, like, little ring that looks like a UFO. He looks like he's wearing a little yarmulke in the middle. Is that what they're called? Anyway, it looks like he's wearing, like, one of those little Jewish hats in the middle of his head, but it's just a bald spot. Will, you need a, I know he's not listening to this, but anyway, if anyone knows Will personally, firstly, awesome, you know the royals, but secondly, tell him to lose that shit, or do a Shane Warne and get laser hair surgery. Either way, Will, lose it, man. I mean, stop holding on to, it's sad. That's what Gary Ablett would look like. The AFL player, you know, shaved his head, probably, you know, he was going bald, shaved his head. Looks great bald. I mean, it's a good decision. I think it's smart. If you're losing it, guys, and you're young, hey, that sucks. But don't do a Will. All right, make a decision. Am I going to get laser hair surgery, do something about it, or am I just going to lose it? And there's no shame in losing it. It just means you're confident in yourself. If anything, I respect you more. Because, like, there's these guys who's like, oh, it looks all right if I wear a hat. Oh, cool. So you're going to wear a hat all the time. So your ears stick out. You don't look that cool in a hat. All right, you'd look cool or bald. All right, you'd look like a confident man who knows his body and knows that he ain't getting any younger. And there's nothing wrong with that. So guys, if you listen to this and you're thin and on top, there's no shame in it. I mean, it's fine. Being bald's almost cool. Peter Garrett made that cool. The guy from Midnight Oil. All right. Gary Ablett made it cool. Bruce Willis made it cool. There's cool bald guys, all right? Just because you got no hair, it doesn't mean people won't respect you. The level of respect of a person isn't determined by how many hair follicles you've got in your head, all right? Just, if anything, it's determined by, but like it. Anyway, point is, Will, lose it. What was I talking about? Oh yeah, Harry's the cool one. Yeah, and now Harry's married to Meghan from Suits, Rachel Zane, and that's another thing I'm sad about because I love Rachel. I mean, her character, I love her character from Suits. But, you know, it's sad to see her off the market now, even though she was fictional. he's punching so hard, man. Like, it's one of those things where I'm like, do you really think... I've talked about this on the podcast before. Both Harry and Will have... Like, Kate's hot, Megan's hot. Do you really think that those girls would have been like, ooh, nice little pale ginger here who's balding? I want to have babies with him. Yep, spend the rest of my life with him. Oh, is he not rich or a royal? Oh, no thanks. No, I wouldn't think so. You really think they would have... Those girls just wanted to be a princess. I'm not calling them gold diggers. I'm calling them royalty diggers, all right? And I'm sure, you know what? Okay, Megan, not so much, right? Because Harry actually is a catch. Harry's a cool dude. He was in the army. He's a party boy. He got naked once in Las Vegas. He's a legend, actually. Megan, I fully get how she fell in love with that dude, all right? But it's like the Ed Sheeran theory. It's like, yeah, if he wasn't good at guitar and wasn't selling out stadiums, would you fuck him? Oh, you would. He's cute. Okay, cool. He's cute when he sings, all right? You reckon he's cute at, like, 4 a.m. when he rolls over and, like, his breath smells and, you know, I'm not trashing it. I'm just saying, like, you reckon he's cute all the time? All right. No. Like, Will, I mean, they're both punching. Will especially. Kate's so much hotter than him. Oh, my God. Will's, like, a solid 4. I mean, he'd be like a 5 if he shaved the hair. But anyway, those guys, what am I talking about? Now I'm just trashing. I didn't want to come on here and trash Harry and Meghan and Kate and Will. Good on him, all right? I mean, especially good on Meghan. I mean, now she's a princess. It's every girl's dream. It's my dream. Well, I was like, when I grow up, I want to be a princess. But I was like, fuck, now I'm a comedian. I mean, I'm hoping to still marry into the family. So I'm thinking of getting... Like, that's all I'm doing this comedy career for, is to hopefully get known enough where I could perhaps date... I wouldn't want to date the royal girl, though, because I wouldn't want to be a prince. I want to be a princess. So I'd have to get a sex change and then date Prince George, who's currently 8. So I've got to wait, like, 10 years. Yeah, that sounds like a plan. And then I've got 10 years to get really big at comedy, and then Prince George will be like, oh my God, look at this Australian comedian. So yeah, for the person who may have known Will before, hit me up with George, but not now, in like 10 years when he's of age, all right? Sweet. oh man. Anyway, so I want to talk about that, because like, it was, oh, I don't care. You do care a little bit. I'm not saying people care, you just care a little bit, alright? Always remember that. If you ever, like, go, no one cares, you have. You've cared enough to voice your opinion on it. Now, last week, I got a few messages during the week about last week's podcast about, I talked up at one point that I thought of the funniest thing. I was like, oh man, this week I came up with the funniest thing ever. And I did. That's not a lie. But I got sidetracked. I didn't talk about it. I just got distracted, pretty much. I didn't speak about it on the podcast, and I guess I just left you guys hanging for a week. So, because I got a lot of messages, I mean, I probably would have forgotten about it, but thank you for reminding me. This is the funniest thing I will ever think of, by the way. I've told like 5 people this during the week, and they've all been like, that's the funniest thing ever. I told Emily, she went, there's no way this is going to be that funny. I probably won't even laugh. She lost her shit. I told Lewis, I was like, dude, I thought of the funniest thing ever. And not like a joke, not a stand-up bit, not a video, not a thing for the podcast. I just thought of the funniest thing ever. Right? It's the funniest image you could ever put in your head. And he's like, bullshit. And I told him, and he was like, that's the funniest thing ever. So I know I've talked it up a lot, and I'm still confident that it's not going to disappoint people. It's going to live up to whatever you're thinking now. Whatever you're thinking is the funniest thing ever, I bet it exceeds that. All right? So this is the funniest thing ever. I forget how I thought of it. Oh, it was when I wrote that 50 Shades of Grey caption. I uploaded a picture on my Instagram about I was in medieval stocks. You might have seen it. My head and arms were in medieval stocks, and I was like, did a caption this contest, and I went, Mr. Grey will see you now. The joke there being, I talked about it last week in the podcast, right? So I was writing this joke, and then I thought of the funniest thing ever. I guess it's a fake movie poster, right? It's a parody of 50 Shades of Grey. All right, sorry. It's a parody of 50 Shades of Grey called 50 Shades of Nay. And then there's a person in like a full bondage uniform, black bondage uniform with like a ball strapped into their mouth. And they're like nay-naying, like in the Whip and Nay-Nay song. And then like someone else is bent over, also dressed in full bondage with their ass out. And then they're whipping, like when I watch me whip, now watch me nay-nay. And then like it's like 50 Shades of Nay. And the guy's neighing, and then like the other person's bent over and they're whipping. And then they've got a whip in their hand because it's like a whip and nay-nay. Oh, man, I like to imagine that someone has been waiting for that all week. Like, someone's like, I wonder what the funniest thing ever is. And they're like, all right. That's the funniest thing I've ever thought of. 50 Shades of Nay. Oh, man. I bet you there's no one laughing right now listening to this. Everyone's just like sitting there on the train, in the classroom, at home. You might be studying right now. You might be driving in your car. Wherever you listen to this podcast, everyone's just like, I waited a week for that. Right. Oh, man. You guys don't know humor. You guys don't get comedy. If you didn't laugh at that, I can't help you. All right? Because that's the funniest thing ever. Don't come to a show. If you didn't laugh at that, you might enjoy my show. Because my show is not as funny as that. That's the funniest thing ever. Oh, man. 50 Shades of Nay. No, watch me. Imagine the trailer. But they're like doing a hardcore fucking... Oh, I'm a professional comedian. All right, let's move on. Guys, all bow. Or is it all rise? No, sorry. All rise for the Virgin King. That is right. You're speaking to the king himself. I mean, I forget if it's... Do people bow to the king or rise, like, out of respect? Either way, do not remain seated. I'm not kidding. Wherever you're listening to this, if you're in class right now, you're on the train, you're in your car, pull over, stand up, or bow. Whatever's easier right now, bow north. I'll probably be north of you, because I live in the northern suburbs, right? But if you're in Europe, bow south to Australia, right? Bow to me right now, all right? All hail the Virgin King. I know it's a bit weird asking for a bow, but it's not. It's just respectful. Because I flew Virgin, guys, on my way to Canberra, right? I was telling you guys, oh, I'm going to fly Virgin this week. And I thought, oh, I was kind of joking. It'll be all right. It was amazing, okay? I felt like royalty. I now know how Harry and Will feel. All right? It's honestly something else. There's like the little in-flight entertainment app. You get a little snack. Oh, the one thing that ruined it completely. I won't get to that yet. Right now, so I get on the flight. Amazing. The lounge is better. The seats are a little bit better when you're waiting. And you're like, oh, this is nice and roomy. And you're like, oh well. I mean, it's only a 1 hour flight. I don't expect much leg room. They go, don't worry, we got you covered. Ample amounts of leg room. More than an exit row on Tiger. Just in a regular seat. There's leg room. There's a nice little headrest behind you, so you feel like your head's on kind of like a leather cloud. So it's not a great pillow, but for a plane, whoo, amazing, right? And then the pilot goes, this is like 47-minute flight, right? And you're thinking, oh, only 47 minutes on the flight. It's a short flight to Canberra. But I was like, that's okay. I'm still going to get comfortable. And you'd think, oh, it's only a 47-minute flight. They wouldn't offer you snacks or a complimentary refreshment. Yeah, they do. Okay? I mean, I know people right now are not impressed because everyone's flown Virgin before. But, man, it was a whole new world to me. I'm like, oh, sir, would you like a tea, juice, or coffee? I'll have a juice, thank you, because I'm a child. And I had my little OJ. It was like, it was great. Oh, man. And they gave me some little apple bites. I didn't have many because it was gross, but it was airplane food. But the thought to give me complimentary apple bites. Had little cheese, little cut up bits of cheese. And then the one thing that made me boycott Virgin forever, they gave me Jats on the plane. This wasn't Canberra to Melbourne, alright? This was Melbourne to Canberra. People from Melbourne don't want Jats. Change your bicky. I paid good money for this flight. I paid an $80 head tax. I remember there was a tax on the flight, $80 head tax. So you pay for your flight, and then it's like, oh, GST, boom, boom, boom. And then there's this thing called a head tax with Virgin. And you get paid for bringing your head onto the plane, for transporting your scalp and your cranium and all the bits that go in your head, your two eyes, your nose. There's a tax for that now. You get taxed for bringing anything from the neck up. There's no neck down tax, but apparently there's an $80 head tax. You'd think with an $80 head tax, you would give my head the premium savory bicky to consume on the flight. Nuh-uh. The nerve to give me a Jats. I'm like, hey, do you know who you're looking at right now? You're looking at the Virgin King, right? And they're all like, oh, everyone here's a Virgin King. We're all flying Virgin. And I'm like, good point. Carry on. And I refused to eat that Jats. And then the guy was like, oh, weren't you hungry? Like, he tried to make a joke out of it because I handed back all this food to him. He's like, oh, you didn't want your bickies? And I was like, that's not a fucking bicky, all right? Take that shit and get out of here. Fucking hell. That, it was, honestly, it was so good. It was like, I don't know, it was like when things go from great to bad. It was just the most sour note to end that flight on because the whole rest of it, I mean, usually I'm like at the very best. Like Newcastle, we flew Jetstar. I was a Jetstar lord in Newcastle. But, man, and then on the way home, I was like back to reality and I flew Tiger, right? I posted it in the Memoirs of a White Guy Facebook group. You guys probably already across it. I flew Tiger on the way home, but before you're thinking, ah, oh, man, this is going to be another Tiger rant. Luke's going to crack the shits here. He's probably been stewing on this for days. Spanner in the works. I got the exit row. All hail the Tiger Prince. That is right. The exit row on Tiger, it's the same as a normal seat on Virgin. So I felt like a Virgin King, but I just still had the added risk of dying because I was still on a Tiger flight. But hey, if you're gonna go out, at least go out stretching them legs. Go out limber, all right? Go out about ready to run a marathon as soon as you get off the plane. I was doing leg exercises, right? There was even no one next to me, right? Like, Emily and I had a space in between us. I was had my leg up here. I mean, if you're watching this right now on YouTube, I'm trying to get my leg over my head. But I had my leg, like, I was like a contortionist. I was like, I was trying to sit on the seat just backwards. I was like, oh man, I could just do whatever I want here. I could put my feet in the air. I could put my feet under the other person's seat in front of me. I was stretching out like a starfish. I was doing those, like, you know when people go to the snow and they, like, snowman it in the snow? They're just like this? Man, I was getting up in everyone's grill. I was taking my shoes off like a Tiger Prince does. Oh, it was great. I felt almost like a Virgin King. So that was great. But my flights were very good this weekend. No complaints there. The only complaint I had from this weekend is this weekend's Canberra trip, because obviously I'm still going around Australia doing my shows at the moment. Canberra's on the weekend. By the way, the show sold out. Who would have thought? Who would have thought me begging for weeks would pay off? If you beg and if you beg enough, people will just give in. That's what I've always found. I should start begging people to come to my Brisbane and Sydney shows. I mean, the first Brisbane show sold out, but I put another one on sale. So I beg of you all to come to that Brisbane. So yeah, honestly, thank you so much to everyone who came to the Canberra show. Just quickly, it was truly incredible. I'd never done a show there before. Like I'd opened there. I'd been there once with Lewis, and I did like a 20-minute opening spot for Lewis last March on his tour, like almost a year and a half ago now. A year and a quarter. But I'd never done a show there. I didn't go there last year on my tour, so I was like, man, if anyone rocks up, it'll be amazing. And I don't know why I still think that. Like, I'm still like, it's so cool that people come. Well, because it is. But, I always just in my head, I was like, fuck, even if just 20 people came, that would be awesome. But, it sold out. Like, I had like, almost 80 people there. So, thank you so much to everyone who came. We had to turn away a few people at the door just because, I don't think they were actually fans. They were, like, people who tried to get in from the pub who were like, oh, there's comedy upstairs. Can I buy a ticket? And we had to be like, sold out, fam. Yeah, that was amazing. Thank you so much. We filled every seat. We even had to add extra stools and stuff up the back to try and squeeze as many people in there as possible. But it was sick, and I wanted to start out small this year in Canberra because I had no idea how I'd sell there, and I honestly wasn't expecting to sell that one out. So I think that's the 16th sold-out show. No, 14th. I don't know. Sold at 9 in Melbourne. Anyway, it's the only interstate show that hasn't sold out so far was Adelaide. So other than that, every single show sold out. So thank you guys so much. It's been incredible. So yeah, Canberra was great. The only gripe I have with Canberra was nothing to do with the actual city, surprisingly. I didn't hate it. Like, it's nice there. I mean, people give it a lot of shit, including me. But I don't know why. I'm going to take back that. It's now Canberra. I mean, there's not a lot to do there, but there was enough stuff for one day to do. Emily and I went to Questacon. It's like their version of, in Melbourne, we have this thing called Science Works. It's like this science and technology interactive museum, kind of like slash, I don't know, it's just cool. There's just, you might have seen some of it on my Instagram story. I was doing like dabs and just, I was using $1 million equipment for dabbing and whipping and nay-naying and doing the Soulja Boy dance and saying my name Jeff in three different frequencies, right? That's how I like to spend my free time. It's like, oh, you got a dab in Canberra? Oh yeah, let's pay money to say my name Jeff in three different frequencies. And I did. So if you missed out, hey, bad luck, all right? You need to go follow me on Snapchat or Instagram, all right? Because there's good content being posted there every single day. And when I say good content, I mean garbage. There's trash being posted there every day. It's worse than this podcast. But anyway, the only gripe I have with Canberra wasn't to do with the city. It's clean. It's not polluted. There's no traffic. It's a great city. The Airbnb I was staying at, again, no gripe. It was great. The room was great. But there was one problem with it. In the morning, hit like 6:30 a.m., I woke up, there was a bright light shining right in my face, there was window open, it was freezing cold, because it gets really cold in Canberra, it was freezing cold, there was birds chirping outside, and I just went, oh fuck, we've forgotten to close the window and the curtain, and this is a disaster. I've been wanting to sleep in all week. I was wrecked after the show. We had a day off in Canberra before I had to go home that night. I just wanted to sleep in, get up, do some touristy things, spend some time with Emily. And then it was like, I'd been excited about it all week that day. And it's 6:30 a.m, I'm rubbing my eyes going, fuck, this is an absolute tragedy. I mean, I know some people talk about 9/11 and stuff, but I was like, this is a fucking disaster. I was like, let's get the UN onto this and let's start a war in Afghanistan because, yeah, this is, anyway. I was truly shocked, and then I was like, oh god, I'm gonna deal with this straight away. So I go, I'm like, I just need to close this window. So I'm walking around, like, you know when you just wake up and you're like, I don't even know where I am right now. I'm like, why is this room not my bedroom? I was like, oh, I'm in Canberra still, okay. So I try and close the window, and I go like this with my hands. I put my hands out, and in my room, I just close the curtains. But there was no curtains there, so I'm just like dancing at 6:30 a.m., like looking for curtains. I was like, what the fuck? What's happening? I was like, there's no curtains here. So there's nowhere to close the window. And I was like, all right, there's nowhere to close like the blinds or anything. There's no blinds. I was like, at least I can do is close the window so I can't hear birds chirping or anything. Like, there's no little winder. There's just a mesh thing. I can't close the window. Like, it's bolted open. I'm just like, who? What kind of people? Because it was like one of those Airbnbs where it's like out the... It's like a separate house out the back of someone else's house, right? And I was like, what kind of people bolt open a window who are like, oh, I want to get up when the birds do? No. I hate those kind of people. Like, oh, when nature calls, let's get up and start the day with... Nuh-uh. Let's not start the day. I start my day whenever I set my alarm to go off, okay? I'm in charge here, not the birds, not the sun. The sun's not in charge of me, all right? The sun's not my boss, okay? If I wanted a boss, I would have gone to uni and got a fucking boring job, all right? Like everyone else. I was like, the sun doesn't boss me around, son. If I want to sleep in, I want to sleep in. But nah, I can't because there's no blinds, the window's wide open. If I wanted to sleep outside, I wouldn't have booked an Airbnb. Like, I would have just gone camping without a tent. Just slept on the ground. Trespass in a forest. Right? Because that's what was happening. I was like, I might as well right now just be in a forest. So what I did, I just cracked the shits, dragged the sheet over my head, and then just tried to... And it fell asleep again, so it wasn't that bad. But I just covered my whole head with the sheet like a mummy. And then just slept, like, under my sheet. So it wasn't as light. It sucked. So anyway, that was the only gripe I had with Canberra. I'm just like, I booked a place to stay because I didn't want to sleep outside. But right now, you're bringing outside to the inside. If I wanted to sleep with fucking birds, I would have booked an Airbnb in a bird's nest. I would have booked a tree. But nah, I booked a house. So give me that. Give me that indoor experience, alright? That's all I want. Just a couple of walls, maybe a blind that closes, and I don't want to hear the birds. I'm sorry, birds, you're not good at singing, alright? You're like me, you just don't have it. You don't have what it takes. If you went on The Voice, they wouldn't turn around. Alright, I just don't like hearing birds sing. Anyway, so that annoyed me. That was my only gripe with Canberra. But other than that, man, what a week. I was a Virgin King, then became a Tiger Prince. I was a Jetstar Lord the week before. I mean, really, the only airline I haven't flown... I mean, a Qantas... Say if you're a Virgin King, what's a Qantas? You're a Qantas god. If you're flying Qantas, you're above a king. That's the only thing above a king. You're like a higher power if you're flying Qantas. And then I guess if you're flying like regional on Rex or Pelican Airways or something, you're like a, you're like, a, what are you? Like a, just a Rex peasant. I don't know. Or like a Pelican peasant, a Rex Duke maybe. I think Rex is the premium regional service. So you're a Rex Duke and a Pelican peasant. So you might have noticed the podcast just cut then. I was halfway through saying Pelican peasant. And then it then it ran out of storage. But anyway, I had to pick up Emily from work anyway. So now I'm at Emily's house. So if you're watching it online, that's why the background has changed. I was talking about the airlines and the Qantas King. See, for you guys, it was 10 seconds ago. And you're like, how come you can't remember, dickhead? It's been like 2 hours now for me. So I've just got to reset. I think I was done talking about that anyway. There is another thing that I wanted to talk about. I don't really know if I wanted to talk about it. It was, you guys might have seen, I put a video out on YouTube called The Yodel Kid, or like about the Walmart Yodel Kid. And I realized as soon as I put this video out, I'm a grandpa now on the internet. I'm like an old man. I read the comment sections and I don't understand you skiing young people. Okay, I just don't get it. There's kids there on there with like they're commenting like PewDiePie references in my comment section. They're spent all down Reddit. I just don't understand the code anymore. For example, some of the main comments that I just, again, this is going to sound so bitter because it's me getting mad at kids. one of the comments that just kept on bothering me, it was like, oh, you're late, bro. This meme's old as. It's like, yeah, it was a month ago. It was a month after I put out the video. Like, I wasn't trying to be relevant. Which I guess, you know, it's an obvious, you know, I didn't really state that in the video, I guess, that I wasn't trying to be relevant. So I guess it's fair that people thought that. But does it matter? Like, in my head, this just makes me old, I think. I don't think it matters when I put out the video. Like, I remember I put out a video a few months ago on Rebecca Black's Friday. And that was 7 years ago. That was in, like, 2011 or something. That song was popular, like a meme, when I was in year eight. Okay? And if you can hear scrambling in the background, it's because Emily's here getting things out of...
Anyway, sorry.
That's okay. Anyway, so yeah, I put out a brief music review on Rebecca Black's Friday, a song that was popular 7 years ago for being a joke, and people commented on that, oh bro, pretty late on this meme. I wasn't trying to be topical. It was 7 years ago. I would have had to make that video when I was in high school, in like year eight, okay? I just thought it was funny. Apparently jokes have a timer on them these days on the internet. Which is why I just feel old, because I feel like, I don't know, and another thing that, like, I just feel like an old man. You know those old guys, like, in a locker room, just hanging schlong, like, after the swimming pool? I just feel like I'm dragging my old saggy balls over the comment section now. Don't leave if you don't like it.
I will.
Okay? I just feel like, sorry, Emily's complaining that my old saggy balls.
Ew.
And she's the one who has to look at him, so. So, I don't know, man, I just feel like now I go on the internet, I have to put my glasses on, I give them a wipe, and I put them on, I'm like, oh, dearie me, what are all these kids up to? Who cares if it's late? Maybe you guys do, I don't know. In my mind, a joke is funny if it's a funny joke. Like, for example, I'll still laugh at a joke about, I don't know, Chappelle Corby. I have one in my show. Like, for all those people who see my show, I have a Chappelle Corby joke, you know what I mean? Like, I'll still laugh at a joke about the Vietnam War. Just because it's not topical, it doesn't mean it's not funny. But, yeah, apparently that's, like, a huge thing. And I guess it's a huge thing because people, like, I've noticed that kids, that it's really distracting having you here. Sorry, Emily's talking to her cat. You need to go. Oh, I'm going to leave with the podcast. I'm going to go. I'm going to move rooms. No, you don't. You're going to have to go. I can't concentrate on doing a podcast when you're whispering to your cat in the background. You were like... You're speaking parcel tongue to your cat right now. You're a freaky cat lady. Alright, are you going to go or am I
going
to go?
I'm going.
Okay, Emily's going to go.
Emily's leaving her own room.
Goodbye, Emily. She's been kicked out of her own room. No, your cat. Don't leave your cat in here.
She's happy.
What if your cat starts joining in on the podcast?
She wants to.
Oh, someone on a comment section the other day on the things that be... You know, you remember I made the joke about your cat being Bigfoot on the things that should be... impossible or whatever, things that are impossible.
Yeah.
Someone was like, oh my god, Luke has a cat. What's its name? It's not my cat, guys. I don't have a cat.
It's the same cat from Pool Chat.
Emily has a cat, alright? It's been in two videos now. One you wouldn't have seen, it was from ages ago. But anyway, so what was I saying before my girlfriend started speaking to her cat? I was talking about, oh my god, don't come back in. Now she's now coming to kiss it goodbye. This is distracting. I said, if you're going to be distracting, just leave before I start it.
I'm leaving.
All right, she's leaving. Anyway, I was talking about... Yeah, okay. I just feel like I am too old now for YouTube, for the internet. Because I feel like... And I've noticed that I've been talking about it with a few people this week. Because, you know, it became very apparent to me after I read the comment section. I was like, oh my God, these people are not in my age demographic. Like, there's 12-year-olds commenting on this shit now. Like
this meme's old, bro.
Cool. Go play Angry Birds. Go outside. Like, go make a billy cart. You're 12. Why are you even watching my videos? Like, honestly, I think a 12-year-old, or I don't think it was 11, I think a 12-year-old came to my show in Melbourne And I was like, you should be in school. I know it's 8 p.m., but you should be there still. You should be doing something else. Right? But anyway, so I started talking to all these people this week about it. And then it's kind of sad. I just realized that, like, everyone I know who's under the age of, like, 9 has grown up with an iPad or iPhone. Like, I got my phone when I was, like, 12. Like, and I got Facebook when I was, like, 13 or 14, maybe. And that's, I thought that was pretty young at the time. I was like, oh, this is pretty young to have a Facebook. Because it used to be, like, an adult thing, social media and, like, YouTube and stuff. It used to be a thing you did, like, when you're an adult. But now it's, like, there's 11-year-olds on YouTube, like, getting in comment sections going, you're pretty late on this meme, bro. Like, cool. Go make your bed. Yeah. But anyway, it's just so strange how, like, I see kids all the time out and about and I just feel ancient because they're on an iPad and they're, like, 8. I didn't even know how to use that shit when I was 8. I just feel like a grandpa. Anyway, so it's pretty interesting, really, just reading my comments. And the other comments that I get under these videos, I sometimes get the comment, and it's whenever I do a video on, like, a child star or, like, Jacob Sartori or something like that, you always get, oh, you're just jealous, man. You're just jealous of Mason Ramsey, the Walmart yodel kid. No, I don't want to be a country singer. I have no ambition to be a country singer. If I was to do a video about a kid who was doing jokes in a Walmart, and then his jokes went viral, then he got on Ellen and started doing all these things, that would be jealousy, for sure. I should go down to the local Coles. I mean, if a kid went viral for telling jokes in Walmart, I would be down at bloody Woolies or Coles in a heartbeat, just dropping one-liners in the fruit and veg section, all right? If that's all it took, I'm all for that. But, it would be jealousy if I guess I wanted to be a country singer, but, like, if you were like, hey, do you want to go on an Ellen for being a country singer, not as a joke, like, I would be like, yeah, I'll pretend to be a country singer to get on Ellen, and then I'll make a video about it. That'll be hilarious. But, you know what I mean? Or it'd be a great radio stunt. But if you're like, do you want to be a serious country singer? I'd be like, no. I don't want to be Keith Urban. That's what I don't get when I do all those things, like, oh, you're jealous. And I get why they comment. Like, I do understand the thought behind it, because it's like, they're literally, Mason Ramsey's literally half my age. But I feel like he's 11, I'm 22. I guess it's rude to be doing a video about him, 100%, and I know that. But it's also like, he's making way more money than I'll ever make. You know what I mean? Like, I'm punching up still, even though he's half my age and half my size, and he can't really make decisions for himself yet. Which I point out in the video, by the way. I'm still punching up, because that kid's going to be a millionaire, all right? So, yeah, I guess I just wanted to address that, how I read my comment sections now, and I'm lost. And I don't think it's you guys, because I'm kind of pretending like it's the whole comment section. It's not. It's just like 3 or 4 comments, and they've got, like, you know, a random meme as their profile picture on YouTube. And you're like, who even sets a profile picture on YouTube if you're not really making videos? But anyway, they've got, like, this, like, meme culture, you know, like, you can tell the people who are, like, above 16 or 15 coming to movies, because they're like, haha, nice one, man. You know what I mean? Like, I think you hit a certain age, and you're like, oh, this is just entertainment. Like, some people who are clearly viewing my online content, and I appreciate it. It's awesome that there's kids as young as 11, 12 maybe watching it on YouTube. I don't think they should be, but it's awesome that they enjoy it enough to watch it, and I think that's great. But they can't distinguish between, like for them, like, a meme is a joke. Like, I could say a meme and they'd be like, that's a joke. Like, I could be like, my name's Jeff, and they'd be like, oh, that's comedy. It's not. It's shit. Like, but, like, I don't know, I feel like people, I don't know what I'm trying to say here, but I feel like there's, when you hit a certain age, you're like, oh, this is just entertainment. Luke's just doing a video about the Walmart yodel kid. It doesn't matter. Like, it's a silly video. At the end of the day, it's a dumb video about a kid yodeling. And that doesn't matter. It's fun to watch. It's funny. I've written some good jokes in there. It's put up on YouTube. Boom. Give it a like, maybe. Might tell a friend, oh, you should go check out Luke's thing. It was pretty funny. but you move on with your day. You know what I mean? It's not the be all and end all, but I feel like some kids watch my video and they're like, but this is old. Yeah. Does it matter? I don't know. I'm a grandpa, maybe. Apparently, jokes have a bloody timer on them, and if you don't get your video out in the first 3 days, then your joke's not funny anymore. But anyway, that's something I guess I'll work on to try and be a bit more relevant. But I don't know. I don't even know if I want to work on that, because I almost like reviewing a meme in its completion. Like, I enjoy reviewing a meme in its entirety. At the end, once the Yodel Kid came and went, and then I guess I finished the review with, like, and now good luck to him. Hopefully he makes another song and he gets some momentum. But the meme's over, you know what I mean? I don't like reviewing the meme halfway through the meme. I like experiencing the fad or whatever's happening or whatever I'm talking about in a video with everyone else. I'm just like everyone else. I love watching all the meme compilations of the Yodel Kid. It's hilarious. And then afterwards, I'll be like, now it's done. I feel like I can review it in its entirety and give an honest and really look at it from an outsider perspective and, you know, pick the bits that I find funniest about it. But apparently on the internet, you've got to get it 2 days in as it's just starting. There's nothing to talk about. You're like, look at this kid singing in Walmart. It's like, that wouldn't have been a good video. I had like 3 jokes about him actually singing in Walmart. Then the rest was on his Allen, his new song. You know, I like to review his entire 3-month career. yeah, I just wanted to, I guess, address that, I don't know, I feel a bit outdated these days on the internet, and I need to start, I guess, being more relevant, apparently, but apparently that matters. I will start writing jokes with a clock. I'll set a timer next to me and be like, and it's called the relevant clock, and I have 2 days to get the video up, or otherwise I won't do it. Is that what you guys want? Or would you, I personally would rather just put out a good video like a month later and make it worth watching. I feel like if I couldn't put out anything worthwhile watching with my process of doing videos in that short time span. But anyway, that was quite an interesting thing that I've noticed this week. One thing that is interesting, I know like a few people like who are like 5 years old and you know, even like Lewis knows a little girl who's like really young, and she, like, is, like, 3. She, oh, like, 2 or 3, maybe. She can't really speak English yet, but she knows how to navigate her way around YouTube. That's insane. Like, she can't put a sentence together, but she's like, I can Google Peppa Pig and then watch a full episode by myself. That's crazy. And those are the people who are going to be commenting on my videos in 10 years. That scares the shit out of me. What are they going to write? Like, it'll be a second after they've seen the video that's gone viral, and they'll be like, oh, this is pretty late, bro. It's really strange, and I guess a few of you might have experienced this, because some of you guys might be a bit younger than me, but anyone older listening, anyone who's my age listening will be like, yeah, I feel you. Because I feel like my dad's a primary school teacher, and the kids don't watch TV anymore. Like, neither do I, but like, I watched TV when I was growing up. Like, we'd go to school and we'd be like, oh, did you see Hamish and Andy on Rove? Or did you see this on that? Like, there was still TV shows that people would talk about. Like, now it's like, did you see the Walmart Yodel Kid? That's the replacement. It's like, did you see this meme? Like, and then all their in-jokes in their friends, which is great. I think it's awesome that they're making in-jokes and that's how they're bonding. That's fine. But it's just, it's not like a negative criticism on that culture. It's more just like crazy. I think it's crazy how now content and what people consume, what kids are consuming in primary school particularly and early high school is like just memes. That's crazy. Like, memes is their entertainment. I mean, I guess if I was in primary school now, I'd be like, yeah, that's an old meme, man. Get on the next one. But anyway, that's pretty cool. It's good that kids are enjoying that, I guess, and good on it. But just get the fuck out of my comment section. let's do some... Oh, okay, before I keep forgetting to ask about this. I've been meaning to ask for 2 weeks. Before I go into questions, I need to put this out there. I'm looking for a Sydney photographer for my Sydney show. So if you know anyone from Sydney who'd be like, and I'm not, I don't want a guy who has a camera. I like, and like, oh yeah, he puts on a Valencia filter and that's no. I want a guy who does, in particularly, event photography. So if that sounds like you or someone you know or your mate, obviously I'll pay you. I would just love to document the Sydney show a little bit more. And even Brisbane, hit me up. I'm not sure about Brisbane. But yeah, I mean, I'm doing two shows in a night. If you're a Brisbane photographer, or if you know anyone in Brisbane who does, in particular, like bands, event photography, because it's very different because the lighting's all weird with the spotlight and stuff. But yeah, if you think you can take some cool shots from me, I'm happy to pay you and or your friend or like whatever. Just if you want to recommend a friend to me, that would be amazing. I'd really appreciate that because Sydney will be the biggest show I've ever done in my career, like personally, as a Luke Kidgel show. So I'd love to document it and, you know, put up photos because I'm always need photos to post for the next year's promotion and stuff. So yeah. Obviously, I'll tag you or your mate or whatever, whoever's taking the photo on Instagram, and pay you on the night for doing it. Because, yeah, I just want to document it. So, Sydney/Brisbane photographers, in particular, people who do, like, event photography or think they'd be capable. And also, must have past work to send me. I don't be like, I do it, man. I've never done a job before. Like, a working photographer, all right? Or someone who's at least studying it and has some... Maybe they've gone to shoot their... Whatever, some local band gig, or just someone with some past work on their Instagram or something to they can have a scroll through and see who I like. Because you know, each photographers have different styles, whatever. So yeah, this is a call out for Sydney/Brisbane photographers. I'd love for you to hit me up on my email, luke.kidgel@gmail.com, or send me a message on Facebook or Instagram or something. Get onto me in some way. If you know, like, oh, my mate does this, you should check him out. That would be awesome. So yeah, thank you very much. If you know anyone, they'll be mad. All right. Questions before we end it. Now, we've got a few more life advice ones, which I'm pretty excited about, to be honest. I'm just going to have a drink first before I get into this. Don't want to answer questions being thirsty. Want to have that bad boy quenched. Want to have a nice, moist palate before I answer these questions. Now, this first one is from a girl. She wants to keep her anonymous, but I will say... hang on. There's a part in the email where she specifies, I'm a girl, by the way, but she has like a really obvious girl's name. Like, if you would never read the name. I can't say because you want it to be kept anonymous. For example, a similar name would be like, Felicity. It's not a guy's name. It's a girl's name. She has a name like that where it's like, it's not a gender neutral name, yet she specifies she's a girl. How stupid do you guys think I am? For example, it's not her name, but she's like, oh, my name's Felicity. Keep me anonymous. I'm a girl, by the way. Yeah, cool. I got that from reading your name. I didn't think you were a dude. But anyway, this girl who's not named Felicity, I want to state that, she will be named... You know what? But for the purpose of this email, now she is Felicity. Hey, man. Love your shit, and the show was great this year. I have a problem and I don't know what to do because I can't tell my friends. Please keep me anonymous. So I'm in year 10 and a girl, just so we're clear. We were clear. Don't worry. And there is a guy in the year below me who has started to talk to me, and every day he just casually brings up saying we should meet up sometime and do stuff. But the thing is, every day he goes from like saying just kissing, and then he keeps asking to do more and more stuff until eventually he asks to sleep with me. The problem is that I'm a complete prude and have only ever kissed someone, and on top of that, he keeps asking me to send him nudes, and when I say no, he says why I'm going to see that stuff anyway. This guy just keeps asking and won't let it go, and he keeps saying we need to do it soon, and it's just like, and he keeps saying, come on, stop being a pussy. I need advice. I don't know what to do. Felicity, get him out of your life. Sounds like an asshole. Okay? Sounds like a piece of shit. You don't owe a guy anything. He's young. He's in year 10. He's horny. He clearly doesn't want to be with you emotionally or like you be your girlfriend, or he doesn't want to be your boyfriend. He clearly just wants to get in your pants, and you're in year 10, you don't owe anyone anything ever, full stop. But like, if you don't feel comfortable, get him out of there. I know, I guess you're in a situation where you don't want to let him down, obviously, and you don't want to make him feel bad, or you don't hurt his feelings, but he's kind of hurting your feelings by making you feel uncomfortable being around him, and he's always asking about that stuff. So I would say, let him down. Don't even let him down easy, man. Go in, walk up to him, grab a hold of his balls, and say, I never want these to be inside of me. And then squeeze them, and then maybe rip them off and throw them. And then hopefully there's a hole there. Then plant the balls like they're little seeds, put some dirt over it, water it once a week. And then hopefully you can grow a big dick out of the ground, right? His balls will come into this big girthy dick. Oh, it's year 10. So year 10, I'm assuming he's white. I don't know why, but I just like to imagine he is, because white guys are trash. And he's got this little tiny dick's going to come out of the ground, right? And then as soon as that dick gets really ripe, you cut the dick off the stem, and then you say, hey man, eat a fucking cock. And then you feed him his own dick from his ball seeds. That is how I deal with this situation. Force feed him his own dick. Yep, I think we're all, like, lots of people listening to this right now going, yep, that's the only way to deal with this. It's the only logical solution, Felicity. So yeah, I would say, and I think most girls listening to this will agree, and hopefully most guys would agree, that you don't owe her nothing. Sorry, you don't owe him nothing, sister, alright, girlfriend. And yeah, get it. You don't need that guy in your life. What a douchebag. Who asks for nudes and then, after saying no, continues asking? That's just being a sex offender. Like, that's just... And also, you don't want that on your phone, man. Felicity's in year 10. That's underage. You don't want that shit on your phone ever. Okay, it's illegal. Right? You never want underage people. Anyway, it's illegal. So don't send it to him, I would say. It's not worth the hassle. And you don't owe him anything. Keep living your life, Felicity. And I would say, yeah, force feed him his own dick. But if you don't want to do that, my advice would be, you need to say, hey, this makes me feel really uncomfortable. Or if you don't feel comfortable doing that, I don't know, I feel like it's a situation where you might need to speak up. And tell him, you're not being a pussy for not wanting to fuck him. He's probably like a 4 out of 10 anyway. You're not being a pussy. You just don't want to do that because you're in year 10. Tell him that he's been a dick. Like, tell him to fuck off. Like, you're not being a pussy because you don't want to sleep with him. That's a normal thing. And it's a thing that you know, it's a big deal at the time. And I totally understand where you're coming from. Just tell him, just be like, it's you. It's nothing to do with me, mate. It's you. And you're not being a prude. You don't have to... The fact that, Felicity, you think you're being a prude, which means he's got to you. You're not being a prude. You not wanting to sleep with him or do anything more than kissing with him is not being a prude at all. You're in year 10. Who cares if other people are sleeping with each other? You're not a prude. You're 16. All right? Just cool the jets. You're not being a prude. Having a pash is fine, and... You know, whatever you feel comfortable after that. But I'm just saying, you're not prude. You just don't want to sleep with a guy. That happens all the time. Guys are used to that. He's probably used to rejection. And to be honest, if he's acting like this to you, I bet you he's doing it to other girls as well. I'm not saying he definitely is, but I'm just saying, he sounds like a bit of an asshole. Force feed him his own cock, Felicity. I hope I've answered your question. You need to say to him, back off. I don't feel comfortable. You're being a dick. That's my advice. And I'll do one more. This one is about stand-up, but it's a bit different to what I usually answer. Ahoy Savoy Boy, I've been doing some open mics. I don't think she wants to keep me. This is from Molly. I don't think she wants me to keep her anonymous. I've been doing some open mics and invited my friends and family along to watch me. Ballsy. So she's just started comedy. I asked for their feedback, and some people have pointed out that I tend to smile or giggle too much before delivering a joke. Note that they like my material. I should note also that when writing my jokes, I tend to crack up. Otherwise, I wouldn't perform this material. So I'm asking you, Luke, adult gel. That's shit. I hope your stand-up jokes are better than that. I'm asking you, Luke, adult gel, what material is best delivered with a straight face, and which material is appropriate to not hysterically laugh at? Matt, if anyone, for anyone who's gone to watch me, which is a lot of you, to anyone who's seen my show this year or last year or whatever, or has ever seen me live, you'll know that I laugh at my own jokes all the time. Do it on the podcast. I just did it then. It wasn't even a joke. I just, when I'm having fun, I laugh and there's no reason to hold that in. Unless, for example, okay, perfect example is the, watch the High School in Australia bit. The VCAL bit I put out on YouTube. If you haven't watched it, go watch it now. But if you have, it's a bit where at the end I get really, like, emotional and, like, I bring the audience down. I create a lot of tension in the room and I'm like, I talk about Jathan, how his mum's gone to prison. He's, you know, his dad's not around anymore. He's had his mum's had drug problems her whole life and all this stuff. And even now I've brought the mood down in the podcast because you can change that tone. And then I change that tone deliberately and be sad and I be all emotional. And I guess I act, you know, like I feel really bad for this kid, which then makes the thing at the end of, like, you get the audience feeling bad for Jathan in this particular joke. This is my example. I make the audience feel bad for Jathan, and then once they're feeling vulnerable and the room's, like, kind of tense and like, oh, why did he bring that up? Now it's really sad. Then I come with, knock, knock, who's there? Not your mum, she's gone. Boom. Brutal joke. And it's that release of tension that gets the laugh. Because everyone's like, oh, that's so fucked because he's mum and, you know, you just made us feel sad about him. So then you laugh because it's like, oh, thank God, the room is not awkward anymore. So I would say, in a situation like that, you definitely wouldn't laugh at your own joke. Even if you know the punchline's going to be a banger, Molly, don't laugh, all right? You can laugh, you can smirk and stuff after the punchline. I always do that because that makes me laugh when I get that ooh laugh. I'm like, yeah, I got you. Because you know what makes me laugh on stage? When I get, like, an old person or someone's dad, like I'll look at the crowd and I can see everyone laughing, and then I'll get like a 50-year-old guy just losing his shit but trying not to. I'm like, hey, gotcha. And that makes me smirk. So I would say, and it's some of my favorite comedians, man, Chris D'Elia, he laughs all the time at his own shit on stage. If you Google he sets from the Laugh Factory, he's laughing all the time, man. And that's, and the reason why I love him so much and what I try and always I do on stage is just have fun. He's always having fun. All my favorite comedians, I guess, are ones who seem, or not even seem, they are having fun on stage and they show it. So unless you're like a full deadpan comedian, like, and that's your thing, you know, like, but man, Jimmy Carr does it. He goes, like everyone does it, man. Dave Chappelle loses his shit at his own jokes because it's funny. And there's a release of even telling the joke when you're like, even though you know what's coming, there's a release of amusement where you're like, I'm glad I got to do that joke because that is funny. So I think if you're doing it all the time, do it sparingly, Molly. My advice would be if you're laughing at your own jokes, every joke on stage, that could get really annoying as an audience member. You're like, this person just thinks they're fucking hilarious. Also, only laugh at your own jokes if it's a banger. I don't laugh at all my jokes. Because, well, if it's just an okay joke, I won't laugh at it. But if I know it's a banger, I'll giggle. Even if I've done it like 20 times, I'll have a giggle. But yeah, that's the answer to the question, Molly. Don't overuse the laugh. Just do it wherever it feels natural. Keep having fun. Don't hold it in. If you want to laugh, laugh away, my friend. But if you need to set tension in a joke or the joke's being sad, one of the best bits of stand-up advice ever is, and I guess it's to all performance, public speaking, whatever, is be in the bit. So if the reason why the bit is funny or the joke is funny because you're angry, like if you're angry at something, like, you know what I hate when you do this and you're doing a bit about something you hate, be angry. That's the funny part. But if the joke is you're sad, be sad. If the joke is we're laughing and having fun, you're laughing, having fun. Just be in the bit. Even when you get the laugh, don't break character from the bit. Even if you're getting applause, just you stay in the bit. And then to deliver that final punchline also in character. Because as soon as you break, boom, it's over. And then the crowd's like, oh, no, he's just kidding. But if you stay in the bit and stay in this rage, or if you're raging at something, then the audience will believe that you're actually mad. Anyway, that's the end of the podcast, guys. Hope you enjoyed it. Sydney, Brisbane Photographers, hit me up. If you know anyone, that'd be great. The shows are in a few weeks. Yeah, and thank you very much once again to Canberra for selling that shit out. That was very cool. Brisbane and Sydney next. Hopefully they sell out. Man, if they sold out, it means only like 4 out of 18 or 19 shows. Yeah, 4 out of 19 shows didn't sell out. If the second Brisbane and the Sydney show sell out. So that would be awesome. I'd love to see you guys there. And yeah, have a good one, guys. I'll see you next week.